Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
This morning I'm bringing you a very special message, something that I believe that the Holy Spirit has put into my heart. But before we get to the message, I want you to imagine with me. I want you to go with me for a minute. 300 million years from now. 300 million years from now, what will be the only thing that will matter? Will it matter how much money you made? Will it matter what kind of car you drove? Will it matter who won the Super Bowl this year? And it won't be the Colts. What will matter 300 million years from now? 300 million years from now, we will all be alive somewhere. We will either be celebrating and enjoying the presence of God in absolute perfection in the new heavens and the new earth, or we will be suffering eternal torment in hell, where the Bible says there will be endless weeping, burning, and torment. 300 million years from now, the only thing that will matter is if I'm in heaven or if I'm in hell, and who is in heaven and who is in hell. And if that is the only thing which matters, then shouldn't who will be in heaven and who will be in hell be one of our greatest concerns now? Think about that. That's the only thing that matters 300 million years from now. Shouldn't it be one of our greatest concerns now? Of course, the first is, am I going to be there in heaven? And secondly, who am I going to bring with me? This morning, the message title is Fruitful in Evangelism, Faithful with Souls. I will explain that in a moment, but, well, no, let me explain it now. It was Monday, March 5th, 2018, not quite a year ago. We were having our staff prayer time, and for those of you who put in prayer requests, know that your prayer requests are prayed for at least twice, sometimes three times a week. We have staff prayer on Mondays, first thing. We have Tuesday morning prayer at 7 o'clock. Every other Thursday, there's prayer. And then Sunday mornings at 8:15, there's also a team that meets for prayer. So know that your requests are being prayed for. But this was at a staff prayer time. It was Sunday. It was Monday morning, March 5th, 2018. Pastor Derek was praying, and Pastor Derek prayed this. Lord, that CFA, that this church, Lord, that this church would be a church fruitful in evangelism and faithful with the souls you have given us. That CFA would be a church fruitful in evangelism and then faithful with the souls you have given us. And there was something about that prayer when Pastor Derek prayed it. It was as if he was praying the heart of God for the church. And actually, I believe he was. God's heart for CFA is that we be a church that is fruitful in our evangelism, in the sharing of our faith, and that we are faithful with the souls that God brings through our doors. I believe this is what I term prophetic praying. It's when we as individuals actually pray God's heart. And you can pray it also in your devotional time. Sometimes you'll be praying something and something just comes out of your heart. It comes out of your mouth. And you sense that that is beyond just your mind. That's what I call prophetic praying. It's praying God's heart. And he was praying God's heart for this church. I captured the words immediately. I wrote them down. I put the date down, and I typed it out. And I personally have been praying this prayer over this church regularly since March of last year, because that's what God wants us to be. Now, today, I want to talk to you about how we can begin to make this happen. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, the 18th through the 20th verses, most of us know this as what is called the Great Commission. Bible says this, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. We have been given a commission to go, to make disciples of all the nations. And there's a variety of ways that takes place. Some go to foreign lands. We have a mission field. Our mission field is where we live, where we work, where we go to school, the neighborhoods in which we dwell. John chapter 4, verses 35 and 36, Jesus said this, "For you know the saying, and there had just been an encounter with the woman at the well. She had come to faith in Christ. Other Samaritan believers had believed on Jesus. There was much that was happening." But Jesus says this to his disciples, "You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages." And here it is. "And the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What does it mean to be fruitful in our evangelism? It means that we will be bringing people to eternal life in Jesus Christ, or bringing people back to a relationship with Jesus Christ. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike." Fruitful in evangelism, souls coming to Jesus because each one of us is impacting people around us. Souls coming into our church because of invitations that each of us make. And then faithful with the souls you have given us. Faithful with the souls God has brought through our doors. That means that when a person comes into our doors, they are among us, church family, as a guest, as someone relatively new. How do we treat them? How do we look after them? How do we minister to them? What do these things look like, and how do they play out? At this point, I was going to invite Pastor Derek to come. He was the one that prayed the prayer, and I wanted him to share his heart, but he shared it with me, and so I will share his points with you. I know I won't have the same impact as he would because they were his. But the first thing Derek wanted to say, and I'm going to say it for him this morning, is this. He has this line, "I am a warrior and an ambassador." I am a warrior and an ambassador. What does he mean by that? What does the Bible mean? Because the Bible calls us both things, a warrior and an ambassador. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men take hold of it. So what he means by being a warrior, we need to take ground. We need to stand up and stop being so timid about living for Jesus, speaking for Jesus, about being men and women who are afraid what people might say about us, or will our friends misunderstand us. It is our place to be a warrior for the kingdom of God. The very Holy Spirit of God lives within us, dwells within us, empowers us. We should be taking ground for the kingdom. Some of us, though, we're just sort of huddled together. I've been there. There are times I know it. But can we stand tall and recognize that we are in a fight? We are a warrior. We are on the winning side. Take ground. For from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing. It advances as we, as the people of God, stand up and we say we are going to make a difference. Jesus said that his kingdom, the gates of hell, will not prevail against his kingdom. The gates of hell cannot prevail against us. We're going to heaven. Will we be able to take other men and women with us? So we need to take ground, stand up, get some backbone. Then the second thing is this. We need to be ambassadors. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Jesus lives within each and every one of us. You are God's light. Where you go and everywhere you go, you take God's light. This morning, you are God's light. You're going to go some places today. You may go to a restaurant. You're God's light. You may go shopping. You're God's light. Everywhere you go, you are God's light. And you take God's light with you. Stand up. realize the very Spirit of God lives and dwells in you. Let's start taking some ground. But if I do that, what'll happen? Well, let's allow the Holy Spirit to take care of that. Now, I'm not talking about being obnoxious. That's not being a warrior. But can we stand up and say, I am a proud follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He changed my life. And he can change yours too. We do it lovingly. We do it compassionately. But what Pastor Derek wanted to communicate, and as I said, I'm not going to do as good a job as he was, is that people of God, know who you are. You are blood-bought, spirit-filled. You are empowered by God. You are a warrior. Let's advance his kingdom. Take God's light with you. That's how, two ways that we begin to become fruitful in evangelism. A man by the name of Tom Rainer, he formerly was the head of Lifeway Publications, referred to a recent survey in which he referenced believers took this survey about some of their greatest needs. And believers list as one of their greatest desires and greatest needs is in the area of evangelism. Believers admit that one of their greatest desires is to be better at sharing their faith, to be better at taking ground, to be better at being God's light, that they want to be better at it. It's one of their greatest desires, but it's one of their greatest needs as to how can I do this? How can I be God's light? How can I share in such a way? How can I bring people? Let me tell you a story back from my former church. It was a lady that started attending. She came by herself. Then she brought her two sons. Both were elementary school age. And she had been invited by a lady that she knew very casually. The lady who invited was named Crystal. The lady who came, her name was Kelly. I didn't know anything about Kelly except she came on Sunday mornings. But then Kelly came on Sunday nights. Well, if you come on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, you're committed. You're a follower. You're a believer. And she was coming on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, enjoying things, got to know Kelly a little bit. And then one day, I had a prayer time, an altar prayer time. And it was in a Sunday evening service where I encouraged people to come forward, stand across the front. And some prayer members and I were going to pray for people, and Kelly came forward. And some of you might remember the lady Shelley Butler. I invited her to come and share about her experience in sexual abuse and healing from that. And Sherry was unavailable to pray with me, so Shelley was praying, and there were others who were praying. And Shelley and I got to Kelly to pray. And just as I laid hands and started to pray and asked Kelly what her needs were, and I don't even remember what it was. And then Shelley stops, and she looks at Kelly, and she asks this question, which was really funny question, I thought. She said, Kelly, remember, Kelly's been Sunday morning and Sunday night now for 6 weeks. Kelly, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And Kelly says, no, I don't. I've been hearing about it. I'd like to give my heart to Jesus. Oh, my goodness. That's what's called a word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit supernaturally dropped that into Shelley's heart. Didn't drop it into the pastor's heart, which is okay. Dropped into Shelley's heart. We led Kelly to the Lord right there on a Sunday night at the altar of a church. She didn't come forward to get saved. She didn't know until Shelley asked. And why do I tell that story? Because Crystal invited Kelly. Kelly started coming. Kelly started to connect. Crystal was being fruitful with evangelism, but then the church was being faithful with the soul that was brought there. We ministered to Kelly. We got to know Kelly. We talked to Kelly. Of course, Kelly attended. That helps when you to get to know people if they're there. But then through God's divine work and a word of knowledge, we were able to not only lead Kelly into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She began to develop as a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. Her sons remained faithful to the church for years. They were involved in the youth group. Fruitful in evangelism, faithful with souls. See, it's our desire that we would be fruitful in evangelism and faithful. So how can we do this? I'm just going to give you several points, and I'm going to talk a little bit about each one. And then we're going to come to a time where I'm going to ask you a few questions, and we have an opportunity to make a commitment before the Lord. Take ground. Remember, you are God's light where you are, and everywhere you go, you take God's light. Number three, live your Christian life with others as a priority. Live your Christian life with others as a priority. It's not going to be the only priority, but how much do you think about others? Their spiritual condition, or their needs? Do we live our Christian lives with others as a priority? There are days that I honestly will admit I am so focused on me and I'm so focused on what I'm doing that I don't think a lot about others. I've made a real effort to begin to do that. But are you living your Christian life with others as a priority? Number four, we need to look outward into the community. If we are others-focused, we have a community that surrounds us, a community where you work, a community where you go to school, a community in your neighborhood of people that need Jesus Christ or they need to reconnect with Jesus Christ. Are you looking outward? Many churches, statistically, that have gotten to the place of stagnating, not seeing guests, not seeing people come to be born again, not seeing people being discipled, are only looking inwardly at their own needs. And we do need to do that because that's being faithful, but we have to become people who look outward into the community. I think, again, as Tom Rainer discovered from this survey, that's our desire, but we're not doing a very good job of it. And so over the past few months, I've given you some ideas. How do you pray? How can you share your faith? Throughout this year, we are going to be giving you more tools, more suggestions, more ways as to sharing your faith. We did a Wednesday series where it was about sharing your faith, and that's online. It was Pastor Morris out of the Great Life Church. He is a person that naturally shares his faith, and he just gave example after example and illustration after illustration of ways to share your faith. If you want to, listen to that series. It's on our church's website. But we have to live our Christian lives with others as a priority. We have to look outward into the community. Number five, we also need to look inward to CFA. But not just to connect with our friends. Not just to, as I was doing this morning, talking about how disappointed I was in the Colts with my friends. We need to look inward to see who is new, who is in need, who is not connected, and then help them to get plugged in, receive ministry, and to feel loved and welcomed in our family. That means that maybe you need to not talk about the Colts or the Pacers or whatever you want to talk about so that you have an opportunity to go over to the other side of the church and to spend a moment or two with someone who you don't know. What happens sometimes in churches is we are friendly and our greeters do a great job at the doors, but once we get inside the sanctuary, people kind of sit and very few people talk to them. Or because the guest has arrived 3 or 4 minutes before service is going to start and the rest of you arrive 5 minutes after service starts, is that kind of, Nathaniel, you're the one who sees when they really come in. He's going to keep his opinion to himself. But you know, it's a little discouraging, folks. Guests have arrived. They've sat down. The place is somewhat empty. And very few people stop by and say, hey. Remember what was point three? Somebody read me point three. I'm not going to bring it back up on the screen. Read me point three. Live your Christian life with others as a priority. Could you show up at church with others as a priority instead of prioritizing you getting out at the very last minute? Instead of prioritizing and squeezing in that Starbucks run? Squeeze the Starbucks run in. That's okay. I'm not saying not. That's important. I mean, that's vital. But can you add 5 more minutes to your schedule? If others are a priority, I'm going to meddle a bit. I can meddle, thank you. Do you know how difficult it is for Nathaniel to start the service when most of you aren't in here? And to develop a sense of worship? And if we have guests here, when he's trying to get the 20 of us engaged, that can be tough. People of God, can you begin to live your life with others as a priority? And for those of you that have kids, you know the check-in process is going to take a while. Can you be here early enough to get them checked in so that you can look inward to CFA to see who's new, who's in need, who's not connected, and then help them to get plugged in, receive ministry. If you talk to people, find out how long they've been attending. If you find out that, oh, they love music, and you can talk about a music small group. I met someone a couple of weeks ago, and as I found out a little bit about them, I said, oh, we have a small group that would be perfect for you, and I introduced them to the small group leader. But that comes with conversation. That comes with spending time. That comes with making others a focus and a priority. Others out in the community to share your faith. Fruitful in evangelism. Fruitful in sharing your faith. Fruitful in inviting, taking the invite cards, putting them in someone's hand. But then faithful with the souls God brings in the doors. There are some people that are going to be brought by others. That doesn't mean you shouldn't greet them just because they're sitting with people that they know. But there's going to be some that God will just bring in who they have no connection with anybody here. Will we connect them? Will we spend some time getting to know them? Will we make them love to feel loved and welcome in our family? This week I heard a story. There was a church consultant, and there are people that you can hire that can evaluate churches and systems. And this church consultant was hired by a church that had an average attendance. He said it was between 400 and 800. And so it was a pretty good-sized church. And he goes there, and one of the things that he does is he just kind of finds a place towards in the background, and he watches how things happen on a normal Sunday morning. People, what time do they come in, and what's happening, and what's this, and how does this, and how did the facility look, and how did the parking work? And he's just getting a sense. He's getting an evaluation. So he's at this church, and he notes a lady in the parking lot getting out of her car. She's relatively well-dressed, and she's even actually wearing heels, which that's a lot of people don't, unless they're trying to be real stylish, which she was. So she was wearing heels, and out of the car, she takes a child, a baby, in one of the baby carriers. So now she's got a baby carrier. She's got the diaper bag. She's got her purse, the child, and she's walking in heels. And so she walks across the parking lot, and there were a smattering of other people out in the parking lot. He said, not one person out in the parking lot offered to help her. He didn't, because as a consultant, he didn't want to interfere with the systems. So he walks her, and he says she had to climb up, just walk up, not climb up, but there were 9 steps into the church, and I'm thinking, boy, that could be our, you know, because we got, I think, 7. So she's got a baby, she's got a diaper bag, she's got a purse, and heels. And she goes up 9 steps, and there's nobody at the door to open the door for her. So she juggles her stuff. She gets the door open herself, whatever she did with her body to hold it open, walks in, finds where the nursery is. Nursery was similar to ours. It was in the lobby. It was well labeled. So she walks across the lobby. Again, there are people in the lobby. No one offers to help her. a child, a diaper bag, a purse, and heels. I don't know why he kept mentioning the heels, but maybe he just... She gets to the nursery, puts the stuff down on the counter. There's no one there at the nursery. No one at the counter to check her in. Now, there was someone that was back in one of the nursery areas, and after a few moments, somebody noticed her there, got her little one checked into the nursery, got the diaper bag, got the labels, all those type of things. But while she is there, and the consultant has been watching all this, while she is there, you could tell that she's kind of scanning the nursery. She's scanning the outside of the nursery. She's scanning the inside of the nursery. Do you know one of the first things she saw? And maybe it's because he saw her eyes go that direction. You want to know one of the first things she saw? He saw wallpaper, kind of coming off the wall, water stained from a leak that the church had had at some point. Didn't look wet now. But also with a hint of mold on the wallpaper. That's what greeted this lady when she walked in. Remember, this is a 400 to 800 attended church. Don't know whatever happened to the lady. The consultant never said. After things were over with and he began to debrief the team, he talked to an older lady there in the church, one of the individuals who looked like they had been there. In fact, he knew she had been there for a number of decades. And he asked her a question. He said, did you ever have children that came to the nursery of this church? She said, oh, all of my kids went through the nursery. Really? Oh, it was just a marvelous nursery. In fact, she said, I was on the committee that remodeled the nursery. And it was a phenomenal nursery. I said, well, have you been there recently? She said, well, no, after my kids got out of the nursery, they went through the other programs. They're now grown. They've moved out. She said, let's go take a look at the nursery. So she and the consultant walked to the nursery. And this older saint, who had been responsible 25 to 30 years ago to remodel the nursery, walked in the door and she says, wow, this is just the way that we remodeled it 30 years ago. And then she saw the wallpaper. And then she smelled the mold. And she was mortified. She said, I didn't know this was like this. I don't have kids. I didn't see this. The consultant shared this story on something that I was listening to. The next time he came to the church, it was about 8 weeks later, when his next consultant was there. And he said, as soon as I walked in the lobby, the nursery had been entirely remodeled. Wallpaper's gone, new paint, new furnishings, everything. It had been all updated. See, what had happened was, and it can happen, is some people in the church stopped looking inward as to how we were ministering because that wasn't one of their areas. But as soon as they were made aware of it, all of a sudden, they decided that is a priority. And he, of course, did tell them the story of the lady who had come in. And they started to ramp things up. There's a reason that the leaders of your areas ask you to be here early. If you're serving in the nursery, if you're serving in the preschool class, if you're helping Jack downstairs with children's ministry, there's a reason they want you here early so that when someone comes, you're in place. You've got a smile on your face. You've made your Starbucks run, and so you're ready to go. But when you're running in at the last minute, listen, it is important that all of us, whether we are serving or not, are looking inward to make sure that we are doing as much as we can to make people feel loved and welcomed into our church family. We're looking outward at the community and the needs. We're looking inward at CFA to see who is new and what can be done. I commend that church. I commend that church for what they did. But it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it took them so long to see it. But I guess that's one of the reasons that you hire consultants. So you look outward into the community, you look inward to CFA to see who is new, etc. Number six, support what is taking place at CFA with your time and gifts, your finances. Listen, it's because of you that things happen. Are you volunteering? Are you serving? Where are you serving? Are you financially contributing to advance the kingdom, to support the things that are going on in this church? Support what is taking place at CFA with your time and gifts, your finances, and through relationships. And this last one, and I've already talked about it, I've done more than hinted at it, I've meddled on it. Are you looking outward and looking inward, and are you connecting with other people? They may not become your best friend. Do you know them by name? You will not know everybody in this church. I don't anticipate that you will, but who do you know? Who are you saying hello to? Who are you smiling? Who are you spending a few minutes with? And are you looking out for those who are new? So I'm going to put all these back up on the screen. I want to ask you a question. Which one of these, and I put in the first person, which one of these do I need to make a priority now? Do you need to take more ground? Do you need to stand up to become who you are in Christ? Do you need to make sure that you are God's light where you are, and everywhere that you go, take God's light? Do you need to live your Christian life with others as a priority? As I was talking, which one of these maybe did the Holy Spirit already start to talk to you about? Do you need, and this is mine, I need to look more outward in the community. I see our community, but I don't look outward enough because I spend all my time here in the church. It's hard for a pastor to look outward in the community. Or do you need to look inward to CFA, to see who is new, who's in need, who is not connected, and then help them to get plugged in, receive ministry, and to feel loved and welcomed in our family? Or for you, are you supporting what's taking place here at CFA with your time and your gifts? Are you plugged in someplace? Are you volunteering? Are you sharing out of your finances? Do you contribute regularly to the church to help us to meet all of our needs financially? And then what are you doing relationally? What are you doing relationally? And I know for many of you, you have great friendships here. And I'm not saying don't have great friendships. It's because of great friendships that church becomes what it is. But are you looking beyond those great friendships? Which one of these do you need? Maybe it's all seven, but you can't do all seven. Which one is yours today? Which one of these do you need to make a priority now? As the team comes on the stage, bow your head. I want to pray over you because I believe the Holy Spirit is going to begin to talk to you about one of these. Holy Spirit, it is your heart that this church becomes fruitful in our evangelism. And we're going to learn how to be better at that. We're going to pray more intently. We're going to invite. We're going to seek opportunities to share about what Jesus did in our lives. But Lord, it is your heart that we be fruitful in our evangelism. And then, Lord, that we would become faithful with the souls that you bring through our doors. Faithful in developing relationships, helping people to feel welcomed, loved. Even little things like helping somebody walking across the parking lot carrying a child in a diaper bag, offering to help them. If they refuse, that's okay, but at least we offered. That one lady, nobody even offered. Lord, maybe for someone here, they just need to find their place of ministry and of service. Give of their finances. Lord, which of these should be our focus this week? God, which of these should be my focus this week? In Jesus' name, amen. The story goes that Jesus returned to heaven following his death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb. And when he got into heaven, the angels gathered around him in amazement, for they were aware of everything that had taken place. They had seen it from heaven. They had seen the brutal torture that he went through. They had watched him die, and they had watched him rise again. As they gazed upon Jesus, and this is a parable, this is made up by someone, but I read this years ago, and I thought it was so appropriate for today. In the story, finally, Gabriel spoke up and says to Jesus, "Master, you suffered terribly down there. Do they know and appreciate the extent of your sacrifice? Do all those humans down there know and appreciate the extent of your sacrifice?" And Jesus said, "No, not yet. Right now, only a handful of people in Palestine know and appreciate the extent of the sacrifice." Gabriel looks at him and says, "Then what have you done to let everyone else know?" Oh, and Jesus said, "I've asked Peter and James and John and a few others to spread the news. They will tell others, who will tell others, who will tell others, until the message spreads throughout the entire earth." But Gabriel, knowing the nature of human beings, asked, "What's plan B?" Jesus replied, "I have no plan B. There is no alternate strategy. I'm counting on them." 20 centuries later, folks, Jesus still has no plan B. He's counting on you and me. He's counting on you and me to be men and women who are fruitful with our evangelism and then faithful with the souls that God entrusts to this local church as we develop disciples. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." That's our job. Sharing our faith, loving people, living with others, being the other-centered, prioritizing others. I've asked the Holy Spirit to be speaking to you as I preach. That was one of my prayers this morning. We're going to take a moment now. There's a song of response that the team is going to lead us in. I like this song because it challenges me in many, many ways with its words.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.